فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity, no God, no object of worship, worthy of worship, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Amma ba'du. For certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, we'll be continuing with our series, Purification of the Soul, in the section, Muqami' al-Shaytan, or Subduing the Shaytan, of the Qur'an and the authentic Sunnah. Naam. So. Somebody's looking for a Salahuddin. Downstairs, if there's a Salahuddin here. Continuing with our class, Subduing the Shaytan, we'll just review what we've covered for the past two lessons, inshallah ta'ala, in brief, and then we'll continue. And I review for myself, and I encourage the brothers and sisters to always review so that they can use their review as a reminder to help them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, we had covered the footsteps of Shaytan, La'anahullah. And we said that he had a few footsteps, and among his footsteps is forgetfulness. And among his footsteps is he gradually wins the believers over to his program by the art of persuasion, either using the means of beautifying something to someone or by putting fear in the heart of someone. Shaytan la'anahullah, may the curse of Allah be on him, he also uses easiness to make sin easy or appear to be easy to the person he wants to lead astray. He commands people to commit sin. He forces or encourages the disbelievers to commit sin. He declares his innocence, and he has this type of malicious joy for the people who follow him and go astray because of his misguidance. These were the footsteps of Shaytan. Then we went on to the means or the ways that Shaytan uses to lead people astray or to lead people into following his program of disbelief and sin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is exactly the opposite of the program of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which is belief in him and obedience to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the ways or the means of Shaytan is that he uses arguing or debating, and to say that about Allah or about the religion of Allah that which someone doesn't know. Among the ways or the means of Shaytan is that he instigates the Muslims to be against one another. This is among the means that Shaytan uses to lead the people astray or to lead the people to follow his program, which will lead the people into the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. Among the means of Shaytan is extravagance. Shaytan encourages people to be extravagant and to spend as if there's no tomorrow. And even I think they say that, spend as if there's no tomorrow. And this is one of the ways that Shaitan uses to lead the people astray. Among the ways that Shaitan uses to lead people astray is by naming things by other than their proper names, so as to fool the people into thinking that that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram on them, that they can practice it by naming it other than a name that was given to it. And wallahi, I wanted to mention an example on this that we were just mentioning, Yawmul Jumu'ah. And I'll try to use a language that isn't vulgar or out of place, but unfortunately some people have been afflicted with the evil disease of fornication and adultery. And you can find a person who is fornicating with someone, and if you were to catch him, maybe he would say, "That's my girl. I have feelings for her. She loves me. She treats me kindly. She looks after me. She's on my side. And as one brother put it, she did a deed with me." Meaning she was with him even when he was locked up. That lady who that person, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afflicted him with the disease of fornication, would be calling her his girl or his girlfriend or whatever name he would call it, or his loved one or something of these pleasant names, so that it would make it appear to be halal when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, as opposed to saying, "You see me with this fornicator, this adulteress? Do you see me with this? You know what? If we were to name her the name that she deserves among those people who call people to the hellfire, it would be clear that this act is haram until you call it a loved one or a girlfriend." And there are many examples. Among the means of Shaitan is that he encourages people to expose their awrah, and especially the women. And we mentioned two other ways that we didn't get into any detail, and that was music and changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as these were the ways that Shaitan uses to lead the people astray, as mentioned by our Shaykh Salim al-Hilali Abu Usama hafazahullah. The Shaykh hafazahullah went on, as we covered, among the ways to subdue Shaitan is firstly and foremost sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sure that every belief we hold and every statement that we make and every practice or every deed or every act of worship that we perform is done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Shaitan has no interference in that belief, in that statement, or that act of worship. Among the ways to subdue the Shaitan or to restrain the Shaitan or to fight off the Shaitan, we say, was to be a jama'ah. And then we want to be more explicit as to be a jama'ah when we're making salah, and to be a jama'ah when we're traveling, and to be a jama'ah when we're sitting together in a gathering. Then we went on to show among the ways to restrain the shaitan or to subdue the shaitan or to fight the shaitan off is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. To seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. And we mentioned that there were times when Allah Azza wa Jal or His Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded us to seek refuge in Allah, and they are before we read the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to seek refuge in Allah before we read the Quran. And by seeking refuge in Allah from the shaitan, that this is a way that we can subdue the shaitan or restrain him or fight him off. And among the ways or among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, as taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, is if someone is trying to perform some type of magic on us, that we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. Among the times to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan is when we enter the masjid. And we just made a point that when we enter the masjid, that from the etiquette of entering the masjid is to enter the masjid with our right foot, to send salat wa salam on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala out of his bounty, and to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And then to make two rak'ahs before we sit down. This is the etiquette that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us upon entering the masjid, and giving the salams isn't one of the etiquettes of entering the masjid, nor is it one of the etiquettes of exiting the masjid, as the etiquette of exiting the masjid is to exit the masjid with our left foot and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who listen to what is being said and then follow it. Allah knows best. Someone has anything to offer for the brother's question, maybe they can present it. Among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from shaitan, la'anahu Allah, is, as we said, entering into the masjid. And while making salat, if something distracts us, then we should seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from shaitan, because it was no one other than shaitan who distracted us. And among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan is when we get angry. And we explain that this type of anger isn't the anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is the anger out of one's own lowly or selfish desire, that something makes him angry, and if he finds that in himself, then he should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan, as this will subdue and restrain the shaitan. Also among the times, and this will be the beginning of this class, inshallah ta'ala, to seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan is when we see a bad dream, or when we have a bad dream, or we see something in our dream that displeases us or frightens us or the like. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith, الرؤيا الحسنة من الله فإذا رأى أحدكم ما يحب فلا يحدث به إلا من يحب وإذا رأى ما يكره فليتعوذ بالله من شرها ومن شر الشيطان وليتفل ثلاثا ولا يحدث بها أحدا فإنها لا تضره. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us one of the times when we should seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from the shaitan. And that is when we see something in our dream that we don't like. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a good dream is from Allah. And there's other narrations where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a righteous dream. And another narration, a truthful dream is from Allah. And if one of you sees something in his dream that he likes, then he should tell, or he should narrate it to those people who he likes. Or, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to exclude certain people, he should only inform or narrate that dream to those who he likes or he loves. And if he sees something in his dream that he dislikes, then he should seek refuge in Allah from the evil of that thing which he saw, and he should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And this is the point where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, and we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. In another narration, it is the shaitan that makes us see this bad or evil thing in our dream. And then we should do this on the side three times, and that's a little spit that doesn't that doesn't have any liquid to it, or a spit without spit in it. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on and said, and do not inform or narrate anyone about that dream, that he saw something in it that displeased him or that he disliked, because indeed it won't harm him so long as he doesn't inform anyone. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, among the times to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is when we have a bad dream, that we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan. Also, among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is if we feel that someone is envious of us, or that someone is trying to put the evil eye on us, then we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaytan. Before I mention the hadith, I just wanted to mention a point that slipped me from the hadith before, and that is that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar had explained in this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari that a good dream is from Allah, and that you should whoever has a good dream, then he should narrate it to the one he loves and not anyone else. Here they said that the reason you should narrate it, or the reason that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you should relate your good dream to those who you love and Allah knows best, is that the people who you love, if you tell them about a good dream, maybe they might have an interpretation of that dream that will be good for you. But if you were to tell someone that dislikes you, or that you dislike your dream, he may give it a bad interpretation, and that might harm you, or might lead you to be sad or grieved over something that in the beginning seemed to appear good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he used to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan to protect Al-Hassan and Al-Husayn, the grandchildren of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhuma. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, inna abakuma kana yu'awwidhu Ismail wa Ishaq, a'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammah min kulli shaytanin wa hammah wa min kulli 'aynin lammah. And this is collected also by Imam al-Bukhari, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to Hassan and al-Husayn, indeed your father, and here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Khalilullah ibn Azar, indeed your father used to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan of harming Ismail and Ishaq, his two children, and both of them were prophets sallallahu alayhim ajma'in wa ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to explain that isti'aza, or that seeking refuge in Allah, that our father Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, as he says, I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah from every shaytan and poison and every evil, harmful, envious eye. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah from every shaytan and every poisonous thing that can poison us, and from every evil, envious, harmful eye, or every disease, or anything that could possibly harm a person. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah from allowing any of this to affect Al-Hassan and Al-Husayn. And we should use this isti'aza that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say for Al-Hassan and Al-Husayn, for our children, so that we don't allow anyone to look at them and envy them in a harmful way that could bring harm to our children. So this dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say for Hassan al-Hussein shows us that one of the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is if we fear the evil eye or if we fear someone is envious of us. Among the times also to seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan is at the time of arguing or debating. At the times of arguing or debating, as we have mentioned, among the ways of shaytan, or among the footsteps of shaytan, or the ways of shaytan, or the means of shaytan, is that he uses arguing and debating to lead the people astray. And this is one of the times we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan. As we have mentioned before in Surah Al-Hajj, verses 3 and 4, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after I say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّبِعُ كُلَّ شَيْطَانٍ مَرِيدٍ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ تَوَلَّاهُ فَأَنَّهُ يُضِلُّهُ وَيَهْدِيهِ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses says, and from among the people are those who argue concerning Allah or the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge, and they follow every evil or deviant or mischief shaytan. And it has been decreed that whoever befriends shaytan, that he will lead him astray and he will guide him to the punishment of the fire. So we know here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that among the ways of shaytan is that he uses arguing or debating or speaking about Allah or the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge. And if we find ourselves in that situation, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghafir, verse number 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَتْهُمْ إِنْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كِبْرٌ مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِيهِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is teaching us that if we find ourselves being arrogant and ignorant, arguing and debating about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his verses or his deen, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan, as Allah is saying, indeed those people who argue or debate in relationship to the ayahs of Allah without any power or the ability or knowledge to do so, in their hearts is arrogance. And I think I need more sunkhan to try to say this next little phrase here. More sunkhan is translating that verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I'll begin from the beginning, verily those who dispute about the ayat, the proof, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, etc. of Allah without any authority having come to them, there is nothing else in their breast except pride to accept you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a messenger of Allah and to obey you, they will never have it, i.e. prophethood, which Allah has bestowed upon you. So seek refuge in Allah, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the arrogant. Verily it is he who is as-sami' al-basir, or the hearer and the knower. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if they find themselves in a situation where people are arguing or debating or speaking about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any knowledge or without any authority to speak on this religion, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan. Also, and that was the last point that the Shaykh Hafizahullah wanted to mention, among the times when we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan. Also, among the ways of subduing shaytan or defeating shaytan, suppressing shaytan, and keeping shaytan at bay, so to speak, is to say Bismillah. And Bismillah, the Muslims, Alhamdulillah, we have learned the importance of saying Bismillah in the beginning of everything that we do, and that saying Bismillah is a way to fight off the shaytan. And this is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had begun the revelation of the Quran off with. Bismillah, as he says in the first verse revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet and messenger, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي على اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Read in the name of your Lord. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning was teaching our prophet and messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say Bismillah in the name of your Lord. And the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith particularly points out that this Bismillah is a way to fight off the shaytan and to keep the shaytan from interfering with our belief or our statements or our acts of worship. As the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in this authentic hadith, عن أبي المليح عن رجل قال كنت رديف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعثرت دابته فقلت تعس الشيطان فقال لا تقل تعس الشيطان فإنك إذا قلت ذلك تعاظم حتى يصير مثل البيت ويقول بقوتي ولكن قل بسم الله فإنك إذا قلت ذلك تصاغر حتى يكون مثل الذباب. And this is collected by Imam Abu Dawood wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allah. La ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du. We're saying before the adhan that among the ways to subdue shaytan, to fight the shaytan off, la'anahullah, is by the saying of Bismillah. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us particular times when we should say Bismillah. And among those times is when we lose our riding animal. As this hadith on the authority of Abi al-Malih on a man who said, I was riding with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his animal got lost. So he said, may shaytan be wretched because he lost his riding animal. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say may shaytan be wretched. Indeed, if you said may shaytan be wretched, it will make shaytan big, so big that he will be the size of a house. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on, and he will say, and by my power. When you say that, if you lost your riding animal, may shaytan be wretched, shaytan will get as big as a house and say, my power. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rather say, بسم الله. Because if you said that, then Shaytan will become small, so small that he will be like the size of a fly. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us to say Bismillah if we lost our riding animal. Among the times when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah is when we leave our houses. When we leave our houses, it's a time when we should say Bismillah, and that Bismillah would subdue the shaytan, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال when he used to leave his house, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah يقال له هديت وهديت وكفيت ووقيت وتنحى عنه الشيطان ويقول شيطان لآخر كيف لك برجل قد هدي وكفي ووقي. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and it's authentic. And the other hadith that we just quoted was also collected by Imam Abu Dawood and it's also authentic. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith used to say when he left his house, Bismillah, I have relied on Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then it will be said to him, you have been guided, you have what is sufficient, and you are protected. And Shaytan will be removed or will get away from that person. وَتَنْحَى عَنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then one shaytan will say to the next shaytan, how do you feel about a person who has been guided and has what is sufficient for him and has been protected? So here the shaytan لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ is showing that the person who comes out of his house and says that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say when he used to come out of his house, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, will be guided, will have that which is sufficient for him, and will be protected. And the shaytan saying one to the other that there's nothing we can do about that person who has been guided, about that person who has what is sufficient for him, and about that person who has been protected from the shaytan. So among the times when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah in order to help us subdue the shaytan and fight the shaytan off is when we come out of our houses. Also among the times when we should say Bismillah is when we approach our wives. And that this Bismillah at the time when we approach our wives is also a way of subduing the shaytan, from keeping the shaytan from that child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could bless any one of us from his seed. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari says, أَمَا إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا أَتَى أَهْلَهُ وقال بسم الله اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فرزق ولدا لم يضره الشيطان. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you came to his family to have intercourse with her and he said بسم الله اللهم جنب الشيطان وَجَنَّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا or Bismillah, O Allah, keep the shaytan away from us and keep the shaytan away from that which you provided for us. If they will be provided with a child, then shaytan won't be able to harm that child. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us a time some time to say Bismillah in order to keep the shaitan off. So that was the ways that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah, or the times when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah in order to subdue the shaitan. Also among the ways to subdue the shaitan is by reading the Quran. Reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the finest ways that we can use to subdue the shaitan. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said, and it's on the authority of Abi Qatada, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج ليلة فإذا هو بأبي بكر رضي الله عنه يصلي يخفض صوته قال ومر بعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وهو يصلي رافعا صوته فلما اجتمع عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا بكر مررت بك وأنت تصلي تخفض من صوتك قال أسمعت من ناجيت يا رسول الله أسمعت من ناجيت يا رسول الله وقال لي عمر مررت بك وأنت تصلي رافعا صوتك فقال يا رسول الله أوقظ الوسنان وأطرد الشيطان فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا بكر ارفع من صوتك شيئا ويا عمر اخفض من صوتك شيئا. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaqi and Ibn Hibban and other than them, and it's an authentic hadith where on the authority of Abi Qatada, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left out one night and he went past Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu while he was making salah, and his voice was very low when he was making his salah. He went on to say, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was making salah, raising his voice. So when both of them, Umar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, met with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, I passed by you while you were making salah and you were keeping your voice very low. Abu Bakr said, I allowed the one that I was calling to hear me. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, I went past you and you were making salah and you were raising your voice. Umar said, Ya Rasulallah, I wanted to wake the people and to fight off the shaitan, or to keep the shaitan away. And here, this is the point where we're showing that the Quran is being read in order to keep away the shaytan, la'anahullah. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, raise your voice up a little bit, and Umar, quiet your voice down a little bit. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was silent so as to show his confirmation of the fact that the recitation of the Quran is a means to fight off the shaitan, to subdue the shaitan, to keep the shaitan away. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in specific showed particular verses or particular ayat that we could read that would keep off the shaitan. As we know in general, the Quran in general, if we read the Quran, it keeps off the shaitan. It subdues the shaitan. But in specific, the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah keeps off the shaitan. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in authentic hadith, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر إن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي يقرأ فيه سورة البقرة أو تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Don't make your houses like the graveyards. Indeed, the shaytan runs away from the house that has Surah Al-Baqarah read in it." So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that in specific, Surah Al-Baqarah, if we read it in our homes, that the shaytan will run away from our recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah. So reading the Quran is a way to subdue the shaytan, and Surah Al-Baqarah in specific, and to be even more specific, Ayatul Kursi, as is in this famous hadith. And I think I should just read the translation, as it's a long hadith and it's famous, but we'll read it in its entirety inshallah ta'ala. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me in charge of the zakat money from Ramadan. Someone came to me and he began to take the food, the zakat al-fitr from Ramadan that Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in charge of. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I caught him and I said, 'For a certainty, I'm going to take you to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.' That person who came to Abu Hurairah to take some of that food said, 'Indeed, I am very needy and I'm very poor, and my need is extremely strong,' or something like that, to show that he really, really needed to come and steal that zakat from Ramadan, the zakat al-fitr, because of his need. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, so I let him go until the morning time came, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Abu Hurairah, what did you do with that person who came to you last night?' He said, 'I said, Ya Rasulallah, he complained of having a strong need and being very poor, so I showed my mercy on him and I let him go.' He said, 'Indeed, he has lied to you and he will return.'" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Indeed, he has lied to you and he will return." Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "So I knew that he would return." And just to stop here for a minute before we continue, to see the truthfulness or the certainty that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the people radiallahu ta'ala anhum who rightfully deserve to be among those who said, "Sami'na wa ata'na." We hear and we obey. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something and he said, "I knew it was going to happen because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it." This is why they were the finest of humanity. And if we are to be as those people who came before us, then we should do that which those people who came before us did, and that is to believe in every single thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because everything that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth, whether you could imagine it or not. And here we saw the companion Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu not having to make that point, but making it anyway when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He lied to you, but he'll return." He said, "I knew that he'll return." meaning he knows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks the truth. And this is just advice to myself and to the brothers and sisters, that when we hear the statement قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, we should listen attentively, we should pay close attention, and make sure that we understand that which is about to be said, and then we should be the first ones to bear witness to the truth of what was said. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu went on to say, and I knew he will return because of the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he will return. So I waited for him, and then he began to take the food, and I caught him, and I said, indeed I will take you to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, leave me alone, indeed I am needy. I have a severe case of poverty, for lack of better words to say, leave me alone. And he went on to say, I won't return again. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I showed mercy on him and I let him go until the morning time came, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Huraira, what did you do with the person who came to you? He said, Ya Rasulallah, he complained of his poverty and that he was needy, so I showed my mercy on him and I let him go. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed he has lied and he will return. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that person who came to take the food from the zakat of Ramadan of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went on to say, leave me alone, for I will teach you some words that Allah will benefit you by those words. Leave me alone so I can teach you some words that Allah will benefit you by these words. He said, when you go to your place of sleep, the place of rest, to your bed or what have you, read Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, until he read the whole ayah. He said, if you do that, then Allah will continue to guard you and preserve you, and shaytan will stay far, won't be able to come near you until the morning time. This is what that thief said to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to convince him to let him go after he caught him for stealing the zakat of Ramadan for the third time. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, among the merciful companions of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, so I let him go until the morning came. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did you do last night with the person who came to you? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulallah, he said, or he alleged that he would teach me something, some words, that Allah will benefit me by those words, so I let him go. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what are those words? He said to me, when you go to your place for sleep, then read Ayatul Kursi from the beginning of it to the end of it, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, to the end of it. And then he said, Allah will never cease or will never stop guarding you and preserving you, and shaitan won't be able to come close to you until the morning time. And this was the thing, this was the thing that I saw that made me more eager to do good than anything else, or وَكَانُوا أَحْرَصَ شَيْءٍ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed he has told you the truth, or indeed he was truthful to you, but he is a liar. Do you know who came to you or who talked to you for those 3 nights? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that was shaitan. So here we see that Ayatul Kursi is a way to keep the shaitan off, as the shaitan himself, la'anahullahi ta'ala alayhi, taught Abu Huraira in order to help Abu Huraira keep him away. So the reading of Ayatul Kursi is a way to keep the shaitan away from the believers. I just wanted to make a point that this hadith is a well-known hadith, and many people seem to use this hadith out of context by saying that even a liar could tell the truth. This is a truthful statement, but they mean some falsehood by this truthful statement. That is, yes, a liar could tell the truth, but how will we know if that liar is telling the truth or not until we put his statement up to that which our Lord Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has said in the Quran, or that which his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in an authentic hadith? As this shaitan said something to Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira had no knowledge of knowing if that thing was correct or not, the truth or not, until he had the stamp of approval of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we hear some of the liars on the radio stations and on the TV programs and on the lecture circuits. When we hear these liars, we're going to be the first people to say, yeah, he spoke the truth, even though I know he's a liar. How do you know he spoke the truth? Because it sound good? It sound like it was right? It sound like it was beneficial? It sound like it was the truth? The only way that we can know if something is the truth or not is by the stamp or the seal of approval from our Lord Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in his last speech to humanity, Al-Quran, or by that which he has sent his messenger with and prophet to humanity, the last prophet and messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the only way that we can know if a liar is telling the truth. But in general, if a liar comes to us with some news, we reject it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to reject it until we check it out to see if it's the truth. As Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in Surah Al-Hujurat, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you with some news, then verify it. If a corrupt, wicked person comes to you with some news, verify it, in order that you don't harm the people out of ignorance and then feel regretful. Just because it sounds like the truth doesn't make it the truth. Just because it sounds like the truth doesn't make it the truth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-haq, is the one who says al-haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-haq, or the truth, is the one who says that which is the truth. And his messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks the truth, as he taught us in the authentic hadith that we've mentioned often, nothing comes out of my mouth except the truth. So this is the way that we can know if something is truthful or not. Not that if it sounds good or it doesn't sound good. That isn't the criterion to distinguish truth from falsehood, but the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only thing that we have that can determine is something the truth or not. So let's be mindful of this statement that shaitan, even shaitan spoke the truth. So we can listen to give us an excuse to listen to the deviants, to the liars, to the kafirs who seem to have a decent program or something that will seemingly benefit us, when we have that which is sufficient for us from our Lord, as he has taught us to say, as our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me as a guardian. Allah is sufficient for me, and he is the best of guardians. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. And the religion of Allah, al-Islam, the final and the complete and the perfect religion, is sufficient for us. We don't have to go to the shaytan in the form of a man or otherwise to get some truth from the liars. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his religion of truth and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who spoke the truth, and the people who memorize and practice this truth generation after generation, there's no need for us to go to the shaytan looking for the truth when the truth is in the book of Allah. وَحَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Also among the ways to subdue the shaytan is by making the sujood or the sajdatul tilawa or the prostration when we read particular verses in the Quran that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prostrate after reading those verses. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, إِذَا قَرَأَ بَنُ آدَمَ السَّجْدَةَ فَسَجَدَ اِعْتَزَلَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَبْكِي يَقُولُ يَا وَيْلَهُ أُمِرَ بْنُ آدَمَ بِالسُّجُودِ فَسَجَدَ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةُ وَأُمِرْتُ بِالسُّجُودِ فَأَبَيْتُ فَلِيَ النَّارِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said that whenever one of the children of Adam reads a sajda, a place in the Quran that we have been commanded to make prostration at that, after reading that verse in the Quran, when any of the children of Adam read one of those sajdas and then makes sujood, makes prostration, the shaytan becomes isolated and begins to cry. The shaytan becomes isolated and cries because a person prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after reading a verse in the Quran that commands him to prostrate. He says, the shaytan, la'anahullah, he says, ya wayla, or oh, I'm destroyed, or something like that. The children of Adam have been commanded to prostrate, and they prostrated, so they're rewarded with Jannah. And I have been commanded to prostrate, and I refused, so for me is the hellfire. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that if when we read a particular verse in the Quran that we have been commanded to make prostration on, then the shaytan becomes isolated and begins to cry because we make prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made prostration in front of all of the disbelieving people in Mecca when he read Surah An-Najm, or the star, which is Surah number 53. And then when he came down to the verse Fasjudu lillahi wa'budu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prostrated to Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our sujood to him sincerely and solely for his sake, in order to make the shaytan isolated and to cry because we prospered. This is what we wanted to offer today, and I'll just summarize, inshallah, that which we covered from among the ways to subdue the shaitan. And I think we began with today, firstly, that if we see something bad in our dream, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And if we fear that someone is envious of us, we're trying to put the evil eye on us, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And if we find ourselves in a debate or arguing without any knowledge, then we should seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. And then we went on to the things that could subdue the shaitan, and we said that saying Bismillah is a way to subdue the shaitan. And there are many hadiths where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to say Bismillah, like when we eat or when we put on our shoes, and many when we put on our clothes, and many things that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Bismillah before doing. Among the times when we should say Bismillah in order to keep off the shaitan is when we lose our riding animal, or when we leave our houses, or before we come to our wives. And also among the ways to subdue the shaitan is to read the Quran in general, and then in specific to read Surah Al-Baqarah, and then more specific to read Ayat Al-Kursi. And also among the ways, and this is the last way that we wanted to mention today, and that is to make sujood when we come, or prostration, when we come across one of those verses in the Quran that we have been commanded to make prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from. If there was any good, then it's from Allah. If there was any bad, then it's from me, and I seek Allah's forgiveness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Jannah, and to keep us from the hellfire, and to give us the good in this world and the good in the hereafter. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. To continue on how to subdue the shaitan, we come to the section of that the Shaykh has hafidhahullah Salim al-Hilali, that the adhan and the iqamah is a way, is a means for subduing the shaitan. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا نُودِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ أَدَبَرَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلَهُ ضُرَاطِ فَإِذَا قُضِيَ أَقْبَلَ فَإِذَا ثُوِّبَ بِهَا أَدْبَرَ فَإِذَا قُضِيَ أَقْبَلَ حَتَّى يَخْطُرَ بين الإنسان وقلبه فيقول أذكر كذا وكذا حتى لا يدري أثلاثا صلى أم أربعا فإذا لم يدري ثلاثا صلى أو أربعا سجد سجدتي السهو. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this authentic hadith is showing us that the adhan and the iqamah is a means for subduing the shaitan, for fighting the shaitan, from chasing the shaitan away from ourselves. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the adhan or the call is made for the salah, shaitan runs away or goes in the opposite direction. And he has burat. And I didn't know what burat was, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Yeah, that's probably kind of translated. Some people, the brother is saying that وَلَهُ ضُرَاتْ, and he breaks wind. But I didn't remember the exact meaning of that. So, inshallah ta'ala, as the brother said, when the adhan is called, or when the call for the salat is made, then the shaytan runs in the other direction and he breaks his wind. If that's the case, I was hoping that he he didn't turn around towards us. going in the opposite direction and pass when, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When the adhan is called, he comes back. After it's over with, he comes back. Until the iqama is made, then he runs back away. Until it's finished, he comes back until he can get in between a person and his heart. And he'll say, remember such and such, remember such and such, so as to distract the person in his salat, as the Messenger of Allah SWT goes on to say, so much so that until a person doesn't know if he made 3 raka'ahs or 4 raka'ahs. And whoever isn't sure whether he made 3 raka'ahs or 4 raka'ahs, then let him make 2 sajda of sahu. Then let him make the 2 sajdas of sahu. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that the shaytan runs away or turns his back or goes in the other direction when the adhan and the iqama is being made. So the adhan and the iqama are ways to keep off the shaytan. And the shaykh rahimahullah wa hafadahu says that the adhan, since it's a means of subduing shaytan and keeping the shaytan off, that the adhan could be made at any time, even if it's not the time for the salat. And then he gives a narration, and it's a long story, and it's collected by Imam Muslim, that shows that it's okay to make the adhan at other than the times for the salah as a means for keeping off the shaytan. So the adhan and the iqama are ways to keep off the shaytan. So this should be an encouragement for the brothers and both the sisters, if they're in their homes and if their voice isn't raised to a level where the brothers could hear them, that the sisters should make the adhan, the brothers should make the adhan and the iqama in their houses, and teach their children to make the adhan and the iqama, so that adhan and the iqama could be ringing in our houses, in the masjids, in our cars, and everywhere, in order that we can use this as a means for keeping the shaytan away. Also, among the ways of subduing the shaytan is by straightening the roads. Is by straightening the roads, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith collected by Imam Abu Dawood, says, رَصُّوا صُفُوفَكُمْ وَقَارِبُوا بَيْنَهَا وَحَاذُوا بِالْأَعْنَاقِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي إِنِّي لَأَرَى الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ خَلَلِ الصَّفِّ كَأَنَّهَا الْحَذَفِ أو كَأَنَّهَا الْحَذَفُ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to make the roads tight. That's being close side by side to one another. And make the roads close, meaning one behind the other in that direction. So to be tight this way and to be close to one another, meaning one behind the other, should be close and not one too far behind the next one. And that we should make sure that our necks are equal to one another. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, that indeed I see the shaytan entering into the rows just like little black sheep. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended, intended. Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanding us to fill the gaps in the rules and to make the rules tight so as the shaitan couldn't get in, just like little black sheep would be crawling through the rows of the Muslims. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in other hadith, and there are many hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly encouraged us, rather commanded us, to make sure that we have the rows tight. And the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first people who used to say, "We hear and we obey," show us in authentic hadith how they obeyed the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he commanded them to straighten the rows, as in this narration by Abu Dawood and Ibn Hibban and Imam Ahmad and other than them, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aqimu sufufakum thalathan. Wallahi latuqimunna sufufakum aw liyukhalifanna Allahu bayna qulubikum." Qal fara'aytu ar-rajula yalsuqu in Allah nusbah yulsaqu mankibahu bimankibi sahibihi وركبته بركبة صاحبه وكعبه بكعبه. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I command you to straighten the rows." And he said it three times, "I command you to straighten the rows. I command you to straighten the rows. And I swear by Allah that you will either straighten the rows or Allah will divide your hearts." He said, and that's An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the narrator of the hadith, "And I saw a man putting his shoulder closely to the shoulder of the one on the side of him, or his companion on the side of him, and his ankle, his knee close to the knee of the one on the side of him, and his ankle close to the ankle of the one on the side of him." So here we see the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us the detail of fulfilling the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, straighten your rows and fill the gaps. And this is the means of keeping the shaytan off of us. I think that we'll let that be the last one inshallah ta'ala for tonight before the adhan. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. نعم.